Okay, Chevra, as they say in El Al, like when they make all their announcements, Gvirotai v'rabotai, like ladies and gentlemen, we are learning Meseches Sukkah, and the last sugya that we did on Daf Chesamid Beis, can everyone see the Gemara Daf Tes? Okay, so last Gemara that we did was on Daf Chesamid Beis, and we spoke about the halachos of if you have two sukkos, one inner sukkah and one outer sukkah, and you use the inner sukkah like as your workshop, so the inner sukkah is not recognizable, it's not noticeable that it has the status of a sukkah, and therefore you do not fulfill the mitzvah sukkah with that, as opposed to the outer sukkah, you do fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah over there. And then the Gemara also had another discussion that's called the Sukkah of Ganbach, that a sukkah that is built by people who themselves are not obligated in sukkah, that the sukkah is still going to be kosher. This was all of our conversation in ancient Jewish history, which we call last week. Part of the conversation about sukkahs Ganbach, right, a sukkah that's built by women, a sukkah that's built by non-Jews, a sukkah that is built either by an animal or for an animal, whatever it is. Part of that conversation, Rashi said, is that despite the fact that a sukkah does not have to be made l'shma, despite the fact that I don't have to construct a sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah, but nonetheless, the sukkah has to be constructed for shade. In other words, if I have a sukkah, if I have a hut that is constructed just so that there is tznius, just in order to create a sense of modesty, a sense of privacy, to set a person off from everybody else, such a sukkah is going to be non-kosher. A sukkah, in order to be kosher, requires that it is made for shade. Right? We mentioned this last week. I think we noted that made for shade is kind of like a rhyming type of thing, but in order for a sukkah to be kosher, it has to be that the sukkah is made for shade. Now, this entire conversation that we're assuming that I don't have to build a sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, but I do have to build a sukkah in order that it provides shade, this issue is actually a dispute, as a machlokes, in the Mishnah that we're going to learn right now, in the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. So let's turn to that Mishnah. Sukkah Yeshana. If you have an older sukkah. Now, what's the definition of old? So if you ask my kids, the definition of old is anyone over the age of 22. Is my definition old? Over here, however, Sukkah Yeshana means a sukkah that was built more than 30 days before the Yom Tov of Sukkos. That's what a sukkah yeshana is. A sukkah that was built more than 30 days before the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Beis Shammai says it's pasul. Beis Shammai says such a sukkah is invalid. Beis Hillel machshirim. Beis Hillel says that the sukkah is kosher. Okay, so if I have a sukkah that was built more than 30 days before the yontiv, Beis Shammai says, no good. Beis Hillel says, no, it's a good sukkah. Beis Hillel says the sukkah is kosher. The Mishnah continues, Eizohu sukkah yeshana. What does this mean, that there's an old sukkah? So it means, kosha asa uha, or kosha asa'a, kodem l'chag shloshim yom. If you make the sukkah within 30 days, or you make the sukkah more than 30 days before the yontiv, that's an old sukkah. In order for the sukkah to be good, according to Beis Shammai, it has to be made within 30 days of the yontiv. Aval, im asa'a l'shem chag, afilo mitzchilas hashana kishera. If you make the sukkah l'shem chag, you make it for the yontiv, so even if the sukkah is made from the beginning of the year, it's kosher. Okay, so let's just review. It's not so complicated. There's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about an old sukkah. Beis Shammai says no good. That means a sukkah that was made more than 30 days before the yontiv is no good. But if you make the sukkah more than 30 days before the yontiv, and you make it l'shem chag, you make it for the yontiv, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. That's the Mishnah, and all is grand. And basically, I have nothing else to say because, you know, the Mishnah is relatively understandable. Okay, let's kind of make a few points over here. Scott, I really like your background. It's very nice. Let's make a few points over here regarding this Mishnah. Sukkah Yeshana, Zot Rashi. Let's just read the Rashis at the top. Sukkah Yeshana, Kedemefaresh, Sha'asa'a Kodem L'chag Shloshim Yom, V'lo Piresh Shehil Shem Chag. Sukkah Yeshana means that you make it more than 30 days before Yontiv, V'lo Piresh Shehil Shem Chag, and you do not Piresh. How would you translate the word Piresh? You don't explicate, you don't clarify, you don't articulate that the sukkah is made l'shem chag. Right? What Rashi is saying is that a sukkah that is made more than 30 days before the yontiv, if I make the sukkah from the beginning of the year, so according to Beis Shammai, the sukkah is kosher, but it has to be that it's piresh l'shem chag. You have to speak out. You have to specify that the sukkah is for the yontif. Now, let's just pause for a second. The Gemara is going to explain in the simple reading of... actually, we could read the next Rashi. He says this, according to Beis Shammai, it's possible, because the sukkah has to be l'shma. There's a din l'shma, according to Beis Shammai. The sukkah has to be made l'shem sukkah. Right, the concept of lishma exists in many areas of halacha. The concept of lishma exists. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a matzah bakery. When you go to a matzah bakery, you have like usually 25, 30 Russian women, and they're saying l'shem matzis mitzvah, l'shem matzis mitzvah. They scream it out. They say that lishma, it has to be written, it has to be made l'shem matzis mitzvah. If you write a Sefer Torah, right, Rabbi Hoffman would tell you this. You write a Sefer Torah, you have to say, I'm writing the Sefer Torah, l'shem Sefer Torah. You write a get, right? You have to write a get. The halacha is, l'shmo u'l'shmach u'l'shem gerishin. You have to write the get specifically for the husband, specifically for the wife, and specifically for the purposes of divorce. Whenever you write a Shem Hashem, whenever you write one of God's names in the Sefer Torah, you have to say l'shma. I'm writing it l'shem Kedushas Hashem. Right? So that's the basic idea of l'shma. Now, what's interesting is that throughout Judaism, there is a dispute about what is necessary to make something l'shma. This is a machlokes mamish throughout Judaism. The opinion of the Sefer HaTrumah, the Sefer HaTrumah is Rabbeinu Baruch. He was one of the three major students of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Baruch says that when you make something l'shma, you do not have to say l'shma. We have a practice that we say it, but that's just to avoid all doubt. As long as I think that I'm doing it l'shma, remember mental telepathy, like in high school, right? I don't know. All right, like people used to talk about it. Like, as long as you're thinking lishma, that's good enough. Rashi over here seems to say not like that. Right? This is the Sfas Emes, is Diuk and Rashi. Rashi writes v'lo piresh shehi l'shem chag. Rashi writes that you have to explicate, spell it out, speak it out. According to Beis Shammai, that a sukkah has to be l'shma, you have to say, I am building the sukkah l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Right? Like the matzah bakery. That's what Rashi says. Okay. Let's go on in the Rashis. Right? I'll try to come back to this point a little bit later, in a few minutes. Next Rashi, Beis Shammai Poslim. Beis Shammai says that a sukkah that's made more than 30 days before Yontif is possible, because a sukkah has to be lishma, vizu stam na'aseis, and this sukkah is made without specifying that it's lishma, the ilu tov shloshim yom l'chag heva kevin de shoel en behochas achag kodem l'chag shloshim yom stama osa l'shem chag hu osa aba kodem shloshim stama lav l'chag. Zukt Rashi, if I make a sukkah within 30 days, so stam means l'shem yontif, right? Within 30 days of yontif, the halacha is that you're allowed to ask the rabbi any question about the yontif. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to bother your rabbi and ask him questions that are irrelevant, because rabbis aren't supposed to be holding in every area of halacha at all times. But within 30 days, you're allowed to ask questions about that particular yontif, and the reason for that is that shloshim yom koydem l'chag sho'alin behilchos hachag. Right, that you learn the halachas of yontif for 30 days before the yontif. And based on this, Rashi is saying that according to Beis Shammai, if I build a sukkah within 30 days of the yontif, the sukkah is kosher, even though I don't specify that I'm building it l'shem mitzvah sukkah, but the sukkah is kosher because stam, ordinary das, within 30 days, is going to be sufficient to make it l'shem sukkah. That's what Rashi says. Okay, so let's just take this Rashi apart for a minute, and then we'll have some fun. Ready? Does anyone want to have fun? Ms. Schatz, you in the mood of some fun? Always. Okay, so the halacha of sho'alin shloshim yom kono chag, sho'alin bedarshan hilchos hachag, that halacha makes it to Shulchan Aruch only in Hilchos Pesach. In Siman Tuf Lamed of Hilchos Pesach, it says that 30 days before the Yontif of Pesach, you have to learn the halachos of Pesach. And the Bach writes over there, I'm pretty sure it's the Bach says that this halacha is limited to Pesach, because Pesach has many more halachos than any other Yontif, no? Okay, let's talk about Shavuos. What are the halachos of Shavuos? Eat cheesecake. Whoopee-doo. Right? What are the halachos of Shavuos? There are not so many halachos. Sukkos is a little bit more, no? You have to know how to buy a kosher lulav, esrog, you have to know how to build a sukkah. It's still not nearly as much as what you have to know for Hilchos Pesach. Pesach, there's a ton to know. So therefore, there are many Rishonim who say that the halacha of Sho'alin, Shloshim Yom Kodem Hachag, Sho'alin Bedarshin, Behilchos Hachag, that halacha is only about Pesach. About the other Yomim Tovim, it's not true. From Rashi over here, however, you see that even for Sukkos, within 30 days of the holiday, we start talking about the laws of Sukkos, and therefore a sukkah that's built within 30 days of the holiday is assumed to be built l'shem sukkah. Now, it is worth just noting one half of a deal. If you read the Rashi over here, right? Rashi says sho'alin b'hilchos achag. In Hilchos Pesach, the expression is sho'alin v'dorshin, meaning it could be that even though 30 days before Sukkos also, you're allowed to ask the rabbi about Hilchos Sukkah, the rabbi has to learn the halachos and be well-versed in them to answer the questions. But darshan means that the rabbi makes speeches. The rabbi gets up and he says, I am now teaching you the halacha. It could be that for 30 days before Pesach, the rabbi has an obligation to teach the halachos, to teach it, to be darshan. But maybe by Sukkos, it's only that you could ask the question, but you don't have to darshan about it. So again, it could be that even according to Rashi, that the halacha applies to Sukkos. What we're suggesting is that it's possible that it applies to Sukkos differently than it applies to Pesach. So far, so good, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's go on. I build a sukkah within 30 days of sukkahs. Why is the sukkah kosher according to Beis Shammai? Doesn't the sukkah have to be built according to Beis Shammai l'shem yontiv? So what does Rashi say? We just read the Rashi. Rashi says that within 30 days of sukkahs, it's okay because we assume that stam, that an ordinary sukkah built within 30 days of sukkahs, is made for the yontiv. Why else are you putting up a hut within 30 days of sukkahs unless you're doing it l'shem the yontiv? Right? Now that's an interesting idea because it relates to a sugya in Zvachim. The first sugya that you learn when you learn Kodshim is about stoma lishma or stoma lo lishma. When I shech the carbon, I have to shech the carbon l'shem bailam. You have to shech the carbon for the owner of the carbon. Let's say the Kohen, when he wakes up in the morning, decides to shech the carbon, let's say the Kohen at that time isn't thinking about Yanko Shmero Ben Yikim Getzel, the owner of the carbon. He just stamas or shechts it, no? Is that a good carbon or not a good carbon? So that's a question whether stoma lashma or stoma lav lashma. Our Rashi and the Maritz Chiyas in the back of the Gemara makes this point. Our Rashi is giving like some sort of compromised approach. Rashi is saying, you know what? Within 30 days of the yontiv, min hastam, it's okay. More than 30 days of the yontiv, you have to speak it out. That's a shame sukkah. Okay. So far we are good, no? Machlokes Beis Shammai holds the sukkah has to be l'shma. And within 30 days, we assume it's l'shma. Beis Hillel says no. A sukkah does not have to be l'shma. Right? A sukkah does not have to be l'shma. But Beis Shammai himself, who says a sukkah has to be l'shma, if you speak it out, that's l'shma. Even from the beginning of the year, that's good enough. Which means the end of the Mishnah, presumably, the last line of the Mishnah says, if you make it l'shem chag, it's going to be kosher, even from the beginning of the year, that line sounds like it's only according to Beis Shammai. So this is normative Judaism. Judaism was a great religion, and then... So usually you would say the Rambam came along. In this case, I would say the Yerushalmi came along, because I'm kind of trying to keep you on your toes. Look at Taisus. Sukkah Yeshana Beis Hillel says is kosher. Says Tosis. Birushalmi Tani Sarech Lechadesh Ba Davar. The Yerushalmi says, within Beis Hillel, right? An old sukkah. A sukkah that was made more than 30 days before the yontiv. So according to Beis Shammai, the sukkah is no good. According to Beis Hillel, the sukkah is good. But the Yerushalmi says, the sukkah is good according to Beis Hillel. Sarech lechadesh ba davar. You have to make something new in the sukkah. You have to do something to enhance the sukkah, to make it nicer, to make it more beautiful. To enhance the kashrus of the sukkah. You have to do something. The Chavraya say it has to be a tefach. Reb Yossi says, koshehu. Man damar koshehu bovak shetehe al panei kula. Okay? So it goes like this. The Yerushalmi is saying that according to Beis Hillel, remember, Beis Hillel says a sukkah doesn't have to be made for the mitzvah of sukkah. Yerushalmi says, not so fast. Yerushalmi says, according to Beis Hillel, you have to be mechadesh badavar, you have to add something to it, which means either you have to add a tefach, which probably means like lift the schach, a tefach, or it means not a tefach. The next line of Taisus quotes from a different opinion in the Yerushalmi, that has to be a kosher, a tiny bit, provided that tiny bit goes the length of the sukkah. which probably means that what you have to do, according to Beis Hillel, is you have to raise the schach a teeny bit. No? Okay, grand. Now, why are you doing this according to Beis Hillel? According to Beis Hillel, the sukkah doesn't have to be a lishma. Why does Yerushalmi say you have to lift it up? So I'm going to... Did someone start to talk? Well, we're making an assumption that Beis Hillel doesn't need lishma, right? That's what you're saying? Okay, so the thing is, I'm basing myself on what we learned in the previous Gemara about the sukkah of ganbach, of women, of goyim, etc. That sukkah, the way Rashi explained that Gemara, that despite the fact that a sukkah doesn't have to be lishma, it has to be made for shade. And Rashi over there is going with Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Hillel says a sukkah doesn't have to be lishma. But even though Beis Hillel says a sukkah doesn't have to be lishma, comes along the Rambam, comes along, excuse me, the Yerushalmi, right, you got me going, comes along the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says, that tzarech l'chadesh b'davar, you have to add something to it. You have to lift it up a teeny bit, right, something like that. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So what is the purpose of that? So, I will present for you four different approaches as to why this is true, and we will then analyze it. Okay? Four approaches within the Yerushalmi. Approach one is found in many of the Chachmei Sfarad. It's found in the Ran, in the Ramban, etc. And what they say is that according to Beis Hillel, you're right, a sukkah does not have to be lishma, meaning that the sukkah will be kosher if it is not lishma. However, if you want a ideal sukkah, you want a perfect sukkah, you want a sukkah that is a mitzvah min hamuvchar, then you make the sukkah lishma. If you want to see where this ran is, interestingly, this ran is on daf aleph, amud aleph, bedape haref. Right? The way the Rif has the Mishnayos, this Mishnah is connected to the first Mishnah on Beis that we have on Beis amud aleph. So the ran on aleph, amud aleph writes that according to Beis Hillel, you have to be mechadesh badavar as a mitzvah min hamuvchar. Right, so that's an interesting idea, no? That means that Beis Shammai says a sukkah has to be lishma completely, totally, thoroughly, nothing to talk about. Beis Hillel says, you know what? A sukkah should be lishma lechatchila. You have to be mechadesh badavar. Now, you also get the impression, though, that not only are Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagreeing about whether being mechadesh davar is me'akev, is a sukkah that's not l'shma posel or not, but they are also disagreeing about how much you gotta do. Beis Hillel is saying that all you need is a tefach. Beit Shammai presumably holds, right, that you have to make the entire sukkah l'shem chag. So, according to the Ran, I would say that there are two points of dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So far, so good, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, we got one thumb up from Ilan. That's good enough for me. Now, let's go on. That's approach one. Approach one is basically saying that Beis Hillel says Tzarech l'chadesh badavar is a mitzvah min hamuvchar. Approach two is quoted in the Sefer Shibalei Haleket. The Shibalei Haleket, by the way, is a classic. There was an Italian doctor named Tzidkia ben Avraham HaRofe, and he wrote a halachic work called the Shibalei Haleket, which is just so much fun to read. It's a ton of fun. It's like a great sefer. So the Shibalei Haleket quotes from some of the Gaonim, from Yehudai Gaon, that a sukkah that is not made, that is not mechadesh dov, according to Beit Hillel, is pasul. It's le'ikuva. That's what Rabbi Yehudai Gaon says. The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Joseph Caro, who is one of the major, one of the major opinions in our study of halacha, the Beis Yosef says, that's right, if you're not mechadesh davar, the sukkah is pasul. And if you read Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Siman Tov Resh Lamed Vav, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that a sukkah, according to Beis Hillel, has to be mechadesh davar, and therefore, if you don't do it, the sukkah is pasul. That's the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, there still is a dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The dispute is, how much do you have to do to make the sukkah lishma? Beit Shammai says the whole thing. Beit Hillel says a little bit. But both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that you have to be mechadesh davar, you have to make it lishma, and if you don't make it lishma, the sukkah is pasul. Pasul. Now, even though the Shulchan Aruch sounds this way, the Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avraham, all the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch say, come on, a sukkah that's not lishma is really going to be kosher, and the idea of making the sukkah lishma, of being mechadesh davar, that's only lechatchila, that's the ram. But the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is like that opinion, the Shibalei Haleket. Third opinion is that you have to be mechadesh davar for the following reason. It's like a detailed halacha. The Gemara Daf Mem Vav in Sukkah talks about when I do mitzvos, say you make a bracha, no? You shake a lulav, you make a bracha. You put on tefillin, you make a bracha. Every mitzvah I do, I make a bracha. There's also an idea that sometimes you make a shehechiyanu. The Gemara on Daf Mem Vav says that when you build a sukkah, you make a shehechiyanu. When you sit in the sukkah, you make the bracha of leishev basukkah. That's what the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav says. Now, let's say a person did not make a shehechiyanu when the person built the sukkah. So the Gemara says you have to be mechadesh badavar. You have to add something. And then you make a shehechiyanu. Comes along the third opinion of the Shibalei Haleket. And the third opinion of the Shibalei Haleket there in Simin Shin Lamed Zayin says that, you know what? You're mechadesh badavar in order to make a shehechiyanu. It's like a little detail that we spoke. It's a little detail that has not very much to do with anything. Just if you want to make a shehechiyanu, you have to do something to it. You can't make a shehechiyanu just by sitting in the sukkah the first time. It's interesting, no? We do this all the time. Every year, sukkahs. We don't make a shehechiyanu when we build the sukkah. We only make a shehechiyanu when we eat in the sukkah. The Gemara sounds like that if I want to make a shehechiyanu when I eat in the sukkah also, I should be mechadesh badavar, do a little bit of something or another, a tefach, whatever it is. So far we have three opinions. Mechadesh badavar is either absolutely essential, that's what the mechaber sounds like. Mechadesh badavar is mitzvah min amufkar, to make it lishma. And the third approach is mechadesh badavar accomplishes my ability to make a shehechiyanu. There's a fourth opinion that I really like, because We spoke about this way back when in our youth, when we began to learn Maseches Sukkah. If you remember, we noted that Maseches Sukkah is a little strange. The Masechta begins by talking about a sukkah that's too tall, too short. The Masechta begins with all of the details about the sukkah. Then the Masechta goes on to the halakos of sitting in the sukkah. And then the Masechta goes on, and the Masechta says that there's mitzvahs of lulav and esrog, etc. So Perek 1 of the sukkah is about the structure of the sukkah. Perek 2 of the sukkah is about the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Perek 3 of the sukkah is about lulav, esrog, etc. And we were bothered by the kasha, wouldn't it make more sense to begin the Masechta with the real mitzvah? The mitzvah in the Torah is Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, that there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. So we should have the second perek before the first perek. And this was the question that we asked. So we mentioned in the first shiur that we gave, we said from the Aruch Lener and from the Netziv, that maybe the idea is that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. And so the Yerushalmi writes that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, and the Yerushalmi says, when I build a sukkah, I make a bracha, Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu livnot sukkah. The Yerushalmi says that you make a bracha to build a sukkah. That's what Yerushalmi writes. Now, we pointed out that there are certain hints to this idea that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. We have a halacha in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim that right after Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur, you're supposed to go from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. And the way I go from one mitzvah to another mitzvah is I'm supposed to build a sukkah Motzei Yom Kippur. Right? I noted to you that Rav Shechter every year in Yeshiva gives a shiur on how to build a sukkah Motzei Yom Kippur, because Rav Shechter said that most of us in Washington Heights don't actually build a sukkah, so at least if we learn the halachos of how to build a sukkah, it's ke'ilu, we're building the sukkah. But the basic idea is that there is a mitzvah, according to many, at least according to Yerushalmi, you make a bracha, there's a mitzvah to build the sukkah. Comes along the Aruch Lener, and the Aruch Lener says, you know what? It's interesting. The Yerushalmi says you have to be Mechadesh Dovar. Usually the Rambam quotes Yerushalmis. That is a Maimonidean thing. Rambam likes the Yerushalmi. But over here, the Rambam doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. Says the Aruch Lener, that's exactly the Pshat. When the Yerushalmi says I have to be Mechadesh Dovar, Yerushalmi says you have to add something to the sukkah. You know why you're adding something to the sukkah? You're adding something to the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of building a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to construct a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to build it. And you know how I fulfill that mitzvah to build a sukkah? I don't have to build the whole thing, right? Beis Hillel says, Mechadesh Badavar. That's an interesting thing. In other words, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are speaking different languages. Beit Shammai is speaking Hebrew. Beit Shammai says you have to make the sukkah l'shma. Beit Hillel says no. You don't have to make the sukkah l'shma. But Beit Hillel says what you have to do is you have to be Mechadesh Davar, meaning you have to fulfill the mitzvah of building a sukkah. I don't have to do that l'shma, but I have to do something b'ofen aktivi. I have to do something active in order to fulfill that mitzvah of building a sukkah. I have to do something. So these are the four approaches about what I have to do to build a sukkah, or what I have to do according to Beis Hillel to be mechadesh davar. Again, there's a lot of literature on this. No, is it sufficient to be mechadesh davar? Do you have to do something in the schach? Is it enough if I do something on the walls of the sukkah? Maybe I don't have to do something on the schach or the walls. According to maybe I don't have to do something with the walls or the schach. Maybe all I have to do is put my, what's it called in the sukkah? Put my, maybe I have to just put, how did I say it? Just put my table in the sukkah. Maybe that's considered fulfilling the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, right? It's entirely possible that you can, that there are different ways of looking at what has to be done to, what has to be done to be mechadesh davar according to Beis Hillel. It's not exactly clear. Not exactly clear. Now, let's go on. Beis Shammai says you have to make a sukkah l'shma. Beis Hillel says the sukkah does not have to be l'shma. Let's go on in the Tosfos. Basar hachi isa hasam. You see, it's like the third line on the top of Tosfos. Basar hachi isa hasam means afterwards. The Yerushalmi says the following idea. The Yerushalmi writes afterwards that afterwards the Yerushalmi writes a different idea. The Yerushalmi says matzah yeshana. Let's say you have matzah that's more than 30 days before Pesach. By the way, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. The matzah that you eat before Pesach, when do you think that matzah is baked? When do matzah bakeries open? Incorrect. Totally incorrect. The matzah bakeries are open months and months and months before Pesach. You are sitting down at the Seder and you are eating matzah that was made Chanukah, if you're lucky. It could be the matzah that you are eating was made Sukkot time. Or maybe now they're making matzah. I have no idea. But let's say you have old matzah. So Yerushalmi writes, it's a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The same dispute about whether a sukkah has to be l'shma is a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Does matzah have to be l'shma? That's wild, no? Who do I paskin like in Judaism? Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We pass like Beis Hillel. No, Judy, right, you're saying that right now because like when Mashiach comes, we'll pass like Beis Shammai. Right, there's such a line to that effect in the Zohar. I don't know. I'm not such a Zohar Jew. But, okay, maybe. Maybe like eventually pass like Beis Shammai. But normal Judaism have we pass like Beis Hillel. So that means a sukkah does not have to be l'shma. That would mean matzah does not have to be l'shma. But we pointed out that whenever you go into the matzah bakery, what words do you hear again? And they're written on the wall in the matzah bakery. It says, L'shem matzah mitzvah. L'shem matzah mitzvah. Right? That's what you see again and again and again. Why are they doing that? If matzah doesn't have to be l'shma, according to Beis Hillel. Right? So Tosis answers, or the Tosis calls him Yerushalmi, Amir Rebbe Divri Akohu Mikavan Shalasa L'Shem Pesach Dover Bari Shalom Diktek Ba. Maybe everybody holds that the matzah has to be l'shma in the sense of that if you don't make the matzah l'shma, so it might potentially be chametz, etc. So now this is already a complicated issue. Does matzah have to be made l'shma? The simple reading of this Yerushalmi is that matzah does not have to be made l'shma. We do make the matzah l'shma. It could be that there are gemaras in the Bavli that disagree. If we would have this conversation, it would take us far afield. So we're not going to have this conversation. But basically, what we've learned so far is, according to Beis Shammai, a sukkah is lishma. Beis Hillel says a sukkah does not have to be lishma. But still, according to Beis Hillel, you have to be mechadesh. Why am I mechadesh? Well, there's a few possibilities. Either I'm mechadesh because, according to Beis Hillel, lechatchila it should be lishma. Alternatively, I'm mechadesh because what? It could be a mechadesh. Those opinions that say that if you're not mechadesh, it doesn't work at all. So they might hold that the chiddush operates in the following way. We mentioned 2 weeks ago or last week that a sukkah has to be nikar. It has to be recognizable that it's a sukkah. If I have a sukkah hayotrim, if I'm sitting in a if I'm a pottery maker and I make my pottery inside a hut, so that's pasul as a sukkah because it's not recognizable that's a sukkah. That's what Rashi said. It could be that the reason why you have to be mechadesh davar is to solve that problem of sukkat hayotzrim. I'm trying to solve that problem in the sense of when I do it, when I'm mechadesh davar, what I'm really doing is I am saying that this sukkah is now a sukkah, it's not just a workstation. So one approach is for lishma. Second approach is to say it's not a workstation. Third approach is to make the shechiyanu. Fourth approach is to fulfill the mitzvah of building a sukkah. There are four possibilities why, according to Beis Hillel, you have to be mechadesh davar. Now, in matzah, by the way, it's impossible to be mechadesh davar, no? This idea that you take a tefach and you lift it up or whatever, that's not doable by matzah. Yerushalmi seems to say that, according to Beis Hillel, the matzah does not have to be lishma, but you just have to make sure it's not chametz. Now, the next Tosfos, I'll just paraphrase outside because time is later than I thought it was. The next one says, "Im asol l'shem chag is good." Tosfos says that's true even according to Beis Hillel. Even according to Beis Hillel, that a sukkah does not have to be l'shma, but you are supposed to be mechadesh davar. You're supposed to do a little bit of something. And says Tosfos, if I build that sukkah lishma, even from the beginning of the year, then I don't have to be mechadesh davar. I only have to be mechadesh davar if I am. I only have to be mechadesh davar if the sukkah was not specifically made lishma. If it's specifically made lishma, you don't have to be mechadesh davar. That would imply, by the way, that the idea of being mechadesh davar is within the realm of lishma, not anything else. So this is simple Judaism, and now I want to learn Gemara with you and complicate Judaism. Simple Judaism, just to review, Machloket Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, does the sukkah have to be lishma? And it's entirely possible that according to Beis Hillel, lechatchila it should be lishma. That's why you mechadesh davar. And if you build the sukkah from the beginning of the year, really l'shem sukkah, good enough, because that's the same as mechadesh davar ad kan. Let's now read some Gemara. My time in the Beis Shammai. You see the Gemara? Kayla, is your hand up to ask a question, or is that a stretch? I'm assuming it's a stretch, right? Okay, excellent. My time at the Beis Shammai. How come Beis Shammai says the sukkah has to be lishma? Amar Kura, Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim LaHashem. The Yontiv is for God. That means Sukkah Asuya L'Shem Chag Be'inan. That means you have to make the sukkah for the Yontiv. Beis Hillel says, no. Right, this pasuk that says you have to make the sukkah la Hashem, that is necessary for Rav Sheshet. Stam Rav Sheshet from Reb Akiva. Minayin laatzei sukkah sha'asum in kol shiva. Talmud lomar chag hasukot shivat yamim la Hashem. The Torah says chag hasukos la Hashem. The yontem of sukkos is for Hashem. V'tanya Reb Yehud ben Beseira omer kishem shechal shem shamayim ala chagiga. Kach, chal shem shamayim al hasukah, Shenemar Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim LaHashem Machag LaHashem Av Sukkah LaHashem. In other words, Beis Shammai says that I learned from the Pasuk of Sukkah being LaHashem that you have to make the Sukkah for the Yontif. Beis Hillel says, no, Chag HaSukkot LaHashem means that the Sukkah, the Chafta of the Sukkah, is like a Chag. Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga. Just like a korban chagiga, you can't get benefit from. It's a korban, it's hektish. You also cannot get benefit from a sukkah. The items that are on the sukkah, you can't derive benefit from. So if I am sitting in the sukkah and it's cold, I'm not allowed to take the rug that I'm using as a wall for the sukkah, let's say, and wrap myself in it to make me warm, because that is tantamount, that is the equivalent of the Isser of Mi'ila, that is like getting illicit pleasure from a sukkah. A sukkah is like a carbon. That's what Beis Hillel says. Now, the Gemara then says, Ubeit Shammai nami mibayalei lahachi? Aye, according to Beit Shammai, we should also say that the pasuk of La Hashem tells me that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Zok the Gemara, enochanami. Yeah, you're right. Elamai tamayi de Beis Shammai. Right, what's the reason Beis Shammai? It's a different pasuk. It says, Chag HaSukkot Tase L'choshev HaSyomim, that a sukkah has to be L'shem Chag. A sukkah has to be for the Yontif. Okay. Now, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have a disagreement. Right, Beis Shammai says a sukkah is L'shma. Beis Hillel says a sukkah doesn't have to be L'shma. At first we think we learned this on the pasuk of La Hashem. Then the Gemara says, no, we're not learning from La Hashem, because La Hashem means that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. But rather, what I am doing is, I am learning from Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha, that you have to make a sukkah L'shem Chag. Okay, now who wants to read the Gemara carefully to completely, I don't know how to say this in English, to completely upschlug what we said until now? We began our conversation, again, just to review, by saying there's a dispute according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a dispute whether the sukkah has to be made for the mitzvah. Is that what our Gemara says? No. What does our Gemara say, Lev? You got to give me the word specifically. I set you up, so you know the answer is no. Right? You know that the Gemara is saying differently than what I said. It's a setup. But what is it really? Read the words of the Gemara carefully. Come on, Chefer, let's go. My time at the Beit Shammai, Amar Kra, Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim LaHashem, Sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag. You make it for the holiday. It doesn't say I make it for the mitzvah. It says I make it for the holiday. Right? Now, there is a big difference. Right? In other words, let's say I build a sukkah for the holiday. I want it to look nice, but I don't plan on sitting in that sukkah. That's going to be good, according to Beit Shammai. No one says, according to our reading of the Gemara, you do not have to make the sukkah for the mitzvah. Right? In other words, even according to Beit Shammai, that a sukkah has to be l'shma, lishma does not mean for the mitzvah. Lishma means for the holiday. If this is correct, so every single thing, by the way, and this is a point that Rabbi Soloveitchik made in his Shi'urim, you know Rabbi Heshi Reichman published some volumes called the Rishimos Shi'urim of Rav Soloveitchik. Rabbi Heshi Reichman points this out, that it could be that every single thing we said until now is absolutely wrong. Again, we began, right, we're comparing Lishma, right, that you have to do it for a mitzvah, so we said, oh, it's like writing a Sefer Torah, that I have to write a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. And we said, matzah, we spoke about matzah, Sefer Torah, etc., right? And we pointed out that Rashi says that you have to be pirish, you have to speak it out. And we said, wow, that's really interesting. The Rashi says you have to speak it out, because we know that's a big dispute in the Rishonim. Do you have to say that I'm writing it as a Sefer Torah? Is enough or I think it? You know what the answer might be? Our Mishnah has nothing to do with Lishma of a mitzvah. Our Mishnah is talking about something else. The sukkah has to be made for the holiday, not for the mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It's all about, you have to build a sukkah for the holiday. Now, why is that true? I think there is, yeah. So again, I could build it for the chag. So again, it could be that I'm building it for the chag, not to sit in it. I'm building it for the chag because I just like the way it looks. It's a little bit strange. But I'll say more. The Mishnah does not say, you know, the Mishnah could have been written in a much shorter way. Beit Shammai says a sukkah is lishma. Beis Hillel says it doesn't need lishma. Instead, it says sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah. Why does it say that? The answer is because the halacha in our Mishnah is very similar to the halacha that we were discussing beforehand of sukkas hayotrim. A craftsman builds a sukkah. A craftsman has an area, has his workstation where he makes his pottery, etc. That's not a good sukkah because it's not recognizable as a sukkah. It's not that it doesn't fulfill the mitzvah and you need mitzvah, whatever. No, it's a new halacha. It has to be recognizable that I'm doing it for a mitzvah. Sukkah yeshana, if it's an old sukkah, it doesn't appear like it's a mitzvah. And the halacha is that the sukkah has to appear like it's a mitzvah. That would mean, by the way, that this entire halacha is rabbinic. It's not a din d'oraisa at all. This entire halacha is just saying rabbinic. The sukkah has to appear like it's a sukkah. Now, yeah, we're learning from psukim, and usually learning from psukim sounds d'oraisa. We'll talk about this next time we learn in the Tosis Minayin. It could be that even though we're learning from Psukim, this halacha is a din d'rabbanon. The din is that a sukkah, according to Beis Shammai, is not lishma. It's not the same as Sefer Torah. It's not the same as get. It's not the same as lishma by any other mitzvah. It's a halacha, just it has to be recognizable. Now, if this is the case, so then the discussion in the Tosfos, matzah yeshana, right? An old matzah, right? So we said, according to Tosfos, Beis Hillel says matzah doesn't have to be lishma. How come in the matzah factory we say l'shem matzah smitzah? I'll tell you the answer. The answer is that of course matzah has to be lishma in the sense of for the mitzvah. But there's another question. The question of does it have to be recognizable? In other words, and maybe this answers Yosef's question, something could be done for the mitzvah. But if it's not recognizable that it's done for the mitzvah, that's not good enough. Sukkah yeshana. I built the sukkah more than 30 days ago. I had in mind that it's a sukkah for a mitzvah. So I would fulfill the regular din of the mitzvah, but it's not recognizable. It's only recognizable if I say it out. The same thing, matzah yeshana. This issue with the matzah that Taisus quotes in the Yerushalmi, this has nothing to do with whether it has to be lishma, the regular halacha of lishma by matzah. No, that is a red herring. Nothing to do with anything. Rather, this halacha is, you know what? Does it appear like it's matzah? If it's old, more than 30 days old, it could be it doesn't appear like it's matzah, and it could be there's a din d'rabbanan and that it's no good. Right. I would say so. And again, you're thinking like a modern city dweller, right? You're thinking like a person who lives in a brick building and has a regular ceiling. But go to many parts of the world. I see a hut with a thatched roof. I'm going to say it's a hut with a thatched roof. It's not a sukkah for a mitzvah, right? Oh, that's really interesting. Uh-huh. In other words, you're sitting in the sukkah, but it's not l'shem chag, right? It's not l'shem mitzvah. It's l'shem comfort. I think that was, again, in most of the world, for most of history, a hut with a thatched roof is a hut with a thatched roof. You don't think it's a sukkah. It's a dwelling. That's what dwellings are. So again, the basic idea that I'm getting at, which I think is a novel read, again, this is Rav Soloveitchik's read, so like, don't blame me on it, but there is no dispute, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about whether a sukkah has to be made for a mitzvah. That's not true. Even Beis Shammai is not saying it has to be made for a mitzvah. The question is there a concern that the sukkah does not appear like it was made for the yontif? So Beis Shammai says in order to make it appear that it's made for the yontif, you have to spell out, you have to say it's made for the yontif. Beis Hillel says no, all you got to do is, the way Taisus learns, just be mechadesh badavar, just lift a little bit up, and in that way it will be clear that it's made for the yontif. Like what often happens when I give these shiurim, is I plan on doing a lot more than we actually get to. So that's why we have next week. Okay, Chevra. Any questions, comments, observations? Anyone want to sing the Star Spangled Banner in honor of July 4th? No. Oh, gosh. This is like, I thought we're patriotic here. And this is the Washington Heights congregation. But if you... You did sing it yesterday? Wow. It's hard, huh? Da 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 da. Shir whatever. I'm not going to put this one on tape. Okay. Okay, Chevra. Thank you.